All right. Well, praise God. Good to see all of you. Welcome this morning. Welcome to New Life Church. So thankful that you're up and out and together with us in God's house. Our mission here, as Pastor Lindsay prayed earlier, it is really to make Jesus the center of our life, our church, and our community. And I do believe God's Spirit is moving in a mighty way. The enemy doesn't want to see God's kingdom advance, but guess what? God always trumps the enemy. God always overpowers the devil. And listen, his Spirit is on the move. And I want to be a part of that. I want our church to be a part of that. Let me invite you to turn to your Bibles to 2 Peter 3. That's where our text is going to be today. Before we get there, we've got a few introductory things we want to share with you. Our theme for this year, 2025, as a church, as we've been saying it, is looking forward. And the title of today's message is called Our Story. Today is Heart for the House. We like to do this at the end of our time of prayer and fasting as a church, and we just finished up today breaking the fast of 14 days. I hope it's gone well for you. I hope you have experienced the Lord in some special ways as you have set ourselves to set some time aside and set some space aside to seek the face of God. And I do believe that now, as we have done that, that we get to experience the breakthroughs of our sowing of prayer, our sowing of sacrifice unto the Lord. You know, God notices that sort of thing. He takes note of that. So be in faith, be in hope as we look ahead this year in our life as a church. And so Heart for the House, as I said, the end of our time of prayer and fasting as a church to set our face before God, to see what He would say and what He would want to do in our lives and our church this year. So we're celebrating what God did in the previous year, and we're going to be looking forward to what lies ahead in this year. So let's take a look at this video story.
In 1877, at the University of Cambridge, a small group of college students felt God's calling to pray, to study the scriptures, and to share their faith with their classmates. Week after week, they continued to gather, and they gave it the name InterVarsity, which today, 148 years later, continues to reach college students on over 800 campuses in the USA alone. In 1886, after being inspired by a group of missionaries called the Cambridge Seven, another group of students at Princeton University in Massachusetts started the Student Volunteer Movement, which launched over 20,000 college students as missionaries in the decades to follow. Around the same time, on the Midwestern campus of Wheaton College, the Lord prompted 10 different revivals led by the students, resulting in fasting, prayer, and confession. Soon after the end of World War II, a young man at UCOA named Bill Bright felt God leading him to start a campus crusade for Christ. Today, CRU has reached 190 countries, and in the last 10 years alone, has seen 250 million people put their faith in Jesus. In the 1960s, thousands of young people encountered Jesus in a West Coast revival called the Jesus Movement. In 1970, college students witnessed the Asbury Revival in Kentucky. In 1973, students were at the center of the Barrio Revival in Malaysia. In the 1980s, a sophomore at Baylor University planted the seed for what became Choice Bible Study, where 10% of the campus gathered weekly and was the soil from which a movement began in 1997 called Passion. In these same decades, more and more campuses witnessed profound spiritual growth, fueled by ministries like Student Mobilization, The Navigators, 24/7 Prayer, Chi Alpha, and more. And in the year 2000, on a field outside of Memphis, More than 40,000 young people from all over the world gathered for Passion One Day to dedicate their lives to the fame and renown of Jesus. But even greater things were still to come. In the decades to follow, more and more 18 to 25-year-olds continued to lead the way in reaching their classmates, their communities, and their countries. In 2020, 140,000 college students came together to lift up the name of Jesus across three stadiums in Brazil. In 2023, another Asbury outpouring caught the attention of the world. Last year, 55,000 students gathered for Passion 2024. Last spring, hundreds of students across the Southeast were baptized at Unite gatherings. In May, thousands of students joined in the March for Jesus through the streets of Paris. In August, over 60 more students were baptized in one night by Ohio State football players. Crowds of young people have been worshiping at St. Andrew's Cathedral in Singapore. A shout of Holy Forever is rising in Burundi. Students at St. Church in East London have been praying through the night. College students in New Zealand are committing their lives to the kingdom. Again and again, in the midst of these outpourings, God is using 18 to 25-year-olds to light the fire of faith all over the globe. Now we are here, ready to trust God for something new, while fully knowing we are not the beginning. We are the continuation of a remarkable divine story that Jesus is writing. We come fully believing that he has transformed generations and he will do it again.
He will do it again. Psalm 126:4 says, "Now, Lord, do it again. Restore us to our former glory. May streams of your refreshing flow over us until our dry hearts are drenched again." Pray with me. Father God, we come before you today and we thank you for loving us. As we set out to hear your word on this Heart for the House Sunday, I'm thankful, Lord, for your heart for Jackson. According to Romans 10:1, where Paul writes, "The longing of my heart and prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved." That is our heart too, God, that all of Jackson would be saved. All the people of Jackson would be saved. Today, Lord, may you use my preaching to awaken hearts and bring every person to the full understanding of truth. Lord, it's my passion and ministry with your power flowing through me to help every one of your people to make Jesus the center of their lives. Be glorified in and through your church, oh God, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. 2 Peter 3. As we celebrate 2024 and look ahead in faith for 2025, I want to share with you today three parts of our story. Remember what God said, remember what God has done, and remember to look forward with God. Let's look at the first one. Remember what God has said. 2 Peter 3, verse 1. He writes, "This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them, I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. That is, I've tried to stir you up and awaken you. I want you to remember," everyone say remember. "I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles." Why is it so important for us to remember what God has said? Well, Paul, to his first letter to his younger son in the faith, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 1, he tells us why it is so important to remember the prophetic words that God has spoken to us. He tells him that they help you to fight the Lord's battles well. They help you to cling to your faith in Christ, and they help you to live and to keep a clean conscience. It sounds a whole lot like what Paul said 3 years later in his second letter to Timothy, in his final words, where he said, Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Because our battles, friends, are not flesh and blood battles. That's why we got to pray, as Lindsay admonished us earlier, to pray to make Jesus the center of our lives. Our battles are spiritual battles. And with these battles comes weariness. With these battles comes discouragement. They come disappointment. With these battles comes heartache and so much more. God's prophetic words help us to stay in the fight and help us to fight the good fight well. Amen. They help us to believe. When we hang on to God's word in our life, it helps us to believe that no matter what, God is with us and that he will do what he said he would do. And these words that the Lord speaks to our lives throughout the seasons of life, they remind us and to be empowered. They strengthen us to stay on God's paths of righteousness when we want to stray, when we get tempted, when we want to go this way or that way or get distracted with certain things in life. No, God's word reminds us, stay the course, run the race, keep the faith, and live for the purpose and the will that God has for your life. So, what has God said to you, friends? What has he spoken to your life over the last decade, 20 years, month, last year, so far into these new days of this year? I encourage you, don't take those words for granted when God stirs you and speaks to you and shines light on his word that prompts you, or when he uses others to speak some things into your life. I encourage you, take time to write those things down, reflect on them, and pray over them. What has God said to New Life Church over the last 10 years? That's a good question. I'm glad you guys thought to ask that today. Well, I cannot possibly, with the time constraints, go through every single thing, but I will tell you, we keep track of them. I just thought I might share a couple of things from the last 10 years. 10 years ago, almost to the date, it was January 25 of 2015, my dear brother and friend in Christ, who's no longer with us, Joshua Christmas, his father and he were with us that day, that Sunday. How many of you remember that Sunday? It was 10 years ago. You still remember that Sunday? He used them to speak some prophetic words into our church. A few things that they said that God would do were that new families would be coming to our church and they would stay, that growth would take place, that life would come forth every week in our gathering, that there would be a revival amongst our next generation. Who wants to see that? Come on, families. Who wants to see this? Clap in this church today. Who wants to see revival take place? He told us that God said he would give us premium property and facilities. He said that God would honor those who have been here a long time. That's my prayer as well for those of you who've been with us a long time. Thank you for sticking it out. Thank you for continuing to trust. Thank you for continuing to be faithful here at New Life Church. It wasn't but just a few months later, one of my pastors, Pastor Rick Bennett, was here. And he actually was here, a couple of times from 15 and 16 in the early part of that time. He shared this, that God said the spirit of heaviness will no longer be a part of our countenance, but that our countenance would be the glory of God. He said that God was going to bless New Life Church to be a house of salvation, a house of forgiveness, a house of freedom and deliverance, a house of healing and breakthroughs, a house of provision in all things, that we would be connected together as the body of Christ supernaturally, and together we would employ God's gift to serve others. And he said in this time frame that the prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home. It's okay to amen this. It's okay to clap this stuff. I want you to get excited. I want you to burn with fire in your heart to see God move in this new year. He also said a year later, he was back a year later in January of 2016. He said that this place would be a place in this city that where people would come and they would sense the awareness of God's presence. And then later in that year in April, he was back again, and he said this, said God was saying the heavens are open over this community, that it's time for harvest, it's time for revival, and that New Life Church would play a major role in this. You know what that means? You know what that means? You see an empty seat next to you? That means God's going to fill it with a brand new soul that's going to give their life to Jesus. You see those bleachers back there that stay tucked away? Yeah, we're going to push a button and those are going to come out. And this whole place is going to be jam-packed with people seeking God, wanting His presence, feeding on His Word, needing the church to pray and support and encourage. That's revival, friends. Our little baptistry pool that we set up here, there's going to be a line coming down these steps behind this curtain. People changed into their swimsuits. People coming that didn't plan to get baptized in their street clothes. They're going to look like Todd in slacks and a shirt, and they're going to be like, I need Jesus and I just want to serve Him. Does anybody have faith and vision to see that happen? I want to see it happen. I believe it will happen. He says that we are blessed for this kind of increase. We are blessed for this kind of enlargement. Then a year later, Dr. Lanice Roseman, dear friend of ours, came and preached. And she said that God, the Lord said that God was reestablishing our hearts to be one heart and one mind. You know, God, our staff have been getting together and praying over the last couple of weeks, encouraging one another, and the theme of unity keeps popping up. God blesses unity. God blesses a church and a people that are together in one heart and one mind and one purpose and one accord. And she said that in 2017, that God was making that happen here in our church. A dear pastor friend of mine, an elder, Pastor Zach Strong, who lives in Cape Girardeau, where my father-in-law serves with him, he sent me a text in March of 2018. I think I shared this with you, but he said this. He said, God said, there's a fresh move of God coming upon your church that will bring about recovery, restoration, and rebuilding. God speaking so many things. And then July of that year, the Lord gave me a word for our church, just a snippet of it, that it said this, I see the cloud the size of a man's hand. The wind is about to blow. Until then, stay alert and ready. Keep positioning yourself to catch the wave. Don't grow weary of doing well, because the real work is beneath the surface where you can't see anything taking place. And that is the part where it's hard to just be patient. Just hang on and keep doing what you know to do, because soon the harvest will shoot up through the ground. Isaiah 60, 22 says, at the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. That is just a little bit about what God has spoken to us as a church over the last 10 years. And that tells us that God's not through with us yet. God's not finished with New Life Church. God's not finished with you and your family and your purpose and your calling. The struggles and the pain and the agony and the heartache and the grief and the trials and the tribulation and all the things that you've had to go through. God says, Romans 8, 28, I will turn and take everything for good, says God, for those who love me and who are set out to live for my purpose. So I want to encourage you, church, remember what God has said. Amen. Will you pray with me this year that we will see more and more and more of God's faithful word come to pass in the life of New Life Church? Number two, remember what God has done. Verse 3, he says, most importantly, I want to remind you. Everyone say remind. I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. Verse 5. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with the water. What has God done in 2024? Well, that's another question I'm glad you guys asked today. We've got some slides that'll rotate through as I share some things. We started last year seeking the face of God, coming together for this new year in our annual prayer blessing at the beginning of the year. And then we embarked on a 14-day prayer and fast, just like we just finished up. Are we able to get those up? Are those slides able to come up? There we go. We witnessed salvations and baptisms. I'm going to say these names because I want you to remember to pray for these. They got baptized in 2024. Jane Levins was baptized. Jack Young, Adam Richards, Kylie Scott, and Finn Bailey were all baptized in 2024. A variety of ages and stories. Remember those names. Remember those faces. Pray that they all grow in the Lord and gain traction with God as we move ahead in 2025. At the beginning of the year, we gave an offering to the Dream Center for one of their biggest annual fundraisers that went on to help over 600 women and children have a place to live. 163 of those folks made professions of faith last year. That's amazing. 163 people who were in the Dream Center gave their lives to Jesus last year. I don't think you heard what I said. I said 163 people who were destined for hell gave their lives to Jesus, and now heaven is their eternal home. They are brothers and sisters in Christ. Pastor, are you going to keep yelling at us? I don't know. I might take my left shoe off and throw it at you. Out of the Dream Center, 195 of them were able to move into permanent housing last year. Who in here has your own place that you live, whether you rent it, lease it, or own it, or pay a mortgage? You go home to it, right? These people did not have that. They have that now. They fed over 243,000 meals through the Dream Center last year. And our offering helped to go to contribute to make that happen. That's exciting. You helped make that happen. Our offering support for RBM missions helped to provide Christian education to the children on the Apache and Navajo Reservation. It helped to provide leadership development for the Native American pastors. It helped to provide benevolence to the Native Americans all last year. If you remember when Pastors Rick and our dear sister who's gone on to be with the Lord, Susan, were here, they had a merch table back there full of homemade, handmade Native American jewelry. You guys almost bought the entire table out. And they took all the profits from that and they gave it to the families who helped make that happen. That's called benevolence. That's called love. That's called just caring and compassion. And you guys helped make that happen. Also last year, with our spring and our fall Wednesday nights, Bible study, Glare Youth, and our New Life Kids Club, we had some of the highest average attendance in spring and in fall. One of our biggest years of people diving in to discipleship. And our women's ministry hosted a major event called the IF Gathering right here last year. It was a phenomenal time. Last summer, our Next Gen ministry celebrated 6 high school graduates, and they led over 50 students to encounter Christ at our Next Gen summer camps. That's our New Life Kids Camp and our Glare Youth Camp. Over 50 students encountered the presence of Jesus and calling on the name of the Lord. The latter part of the year, there was a lot going on with our outpouring of support for our outreach partners, such as RIFA. We made a donation into their construction event where together, overall, they collected over 328,000 pounds of food. That's a lot of food. And provided over 600,000 meals. And we were able to make an offering and a donation into that last year. We made a pretty big offering for our disaster relief efforts through Samaritan's Purse of over $5,000. We collected an offering and you guys gave to that, where we helped to bring aid and hope to the communities who were affected by the disasters of the hurricanes. Another outreach missions partner, Reach India, with our brother Cuckoo Matthews, who was with us back in October. Our love offering for that ministry went on to help support the actual building of churches, food distribution daily, Bible handouts, and being able to create, dig, and install fresh water wells for villages who had no clean water. Man, our church was up to a lot last year. And then we also hosted one of our largest fall family fun nights that we've ever done before last fall, where people kept coming and coming and coming to be around people who love Jesus, and you guys served him well. Our Christmas blessing offering, one of our largest, over $9,000 collected, went out to bless. We blessed 20 of our church members here in our own household of faith. We provided Christmas for our First Love South African missionary ministry to 215 children. We gave them a Christmas meal and Christmas presents. That's what our offering did. That right there provided that for all 215 children. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And we continued to give our missionary partners through Reach India, RB Missions, the Dream Center, the Veterans Home here locally, the Madison Oaks through Angel Tree Family Christian School, and the Alumni Association, whom we leased this space from. We were just able to be a blessing to so many different people this Christmas season, reminding them that Jesus is the center. Amen? It's a possible, amazing thing. But none of this would be possible without our gracious God, a giving congregation, and good stewardship. As I'm proud to present to you this year our board of directors approved financial update. So I'm going to give you a little bit of business numbers. I give you these because these numbers that I show you actually is what you just saw in all those other slides, the tangible resources and the tangible connection and ministry that just took place in 2024. So in 2024, our tithes and our offerings that were collected, we break it down for you this way with operations, which covers our ministries, all things ministry, all things facility, and all things personnel. We had projected coming into the year that it would expense out 91.6% of all that would come in. We ended up expensing 83.27%. For our missions and our outreach, we had projected that we would be able to give out 8.1%. We actually were able to give out 15.24%. Yeah, amen. And our savings, we thought, well, we're not going to be too good at that this year, 0.3, but we actually were able to save 1.49 at the end of the year, all right? Praise God for that. This is not on any slide, but just a reminder, in September of 2017, I think it was, we were officially debt-free as a ministry, as a church. So we were able, at that point in time, it seems a lifetime ago, but from then on, we've been able to put more and more money and resources into ministry and missions and outreach, all right? And so 2025, our projections are similar to 2024's, almost identical, with operations covering all things ministry, facility, personnel, 91%, missions and outreach, 8.8, and savings of 0.2. And so this time next year, by the grace of God, I hope to be able to tell you, we were able to do so much more and then some by God's goodness, your generosity, and good stewardship. I'm thankful for our board of directors who serve with us. Associate Pastor Emeritus Prentice Woods is with us. Keep him in your prayers. He is battling an illness. He's in the hospital. He's okay. Saw him yesterday. Was with him several times this week, and he's doing good, but just want to let you know, keep him in your prayers at this time. Elders Thomas Varghese, if you guys don't mind, stand just for a second. Elder Brandon Bailey, I know it was a quick second, and Elder James Pittman, who is actually serving in sound today. All of us together make up our board of directors. Remember what God has said. Remember what God has done. Man, what a story of last year. And remember to look forward with God. Verse 8, 2 Peter 3. He says, "But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day." Verse 13. "But we are looking forward." Everyone say, "looking forward." "We are looking forward to the new heavens and new earth that he has promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight." Church, we are 47 years old as a congregation overall. This year will actually mark 10 years for New Life Church. So in just in 3 years, we're going to be celebrating, by God's grace, 50 years as a congregation. So that tells us this: we have some great things to look forward to as we press in together to the things of God. This is not a time to get lax. This is not a time to just kind of draw back, get comfortable. No, this is a time to press in even more. And with that, I want to leave you with an acronym: LOOK. L-O-O-K. L, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. May we make Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40, your prayer, where Jesus says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. This particular scripture comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is a central passage of scripture known as the Shema, which was a Jewish prayer and is a Jewish prayer where it's asking God to touch our hearts. "Oh God, touch my heart that I may love you with all that is within me, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength." Oh. Everybody with me? Oh. Orient your life around the kingdom of God. May we make Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33, our perspective. He says, "Don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' For these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. And your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. But what are we to do? Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And he will give you everything you need." Friends, this helps to make you put Jesus at the center of your life. Orient your life around the kingdom of God. There's a whole lot of things that you and I could orient our lives around, but we'll never be disappointed by orienting our life around the kingdom of God and his righteousness, making Jesus the center. Oh, aren't you glad I didn't pick like a really long word? Operate the New Testament way by coming to church and being the church. May you make Hebrews 10:25 your plan. where he says this, "Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Operate the New Testament way by coming to church and being the church. Make this your plan. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. What's your plan this year? Make it this, make Hebrews 10:25 your plan. It started this way in Acts 2, and it continues all the way today. Make this your plan to come together and encourage one another as the day of Jesus' return draws near. Don't forget to encourage one another to be the church. And lastly, K, keep praying no matter what. Make Philippians 4, verse 6 your practice, where he writes, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done." May we follow the words of the Lord. May we pray until we receive. May we pray until we find. May we pray until the door is opened. Friends, may we make prayer our practice in 2025. Remember what God has said. Remember what God has done and celebrated. And remember to keep looking forward with God in this new year, to love him with everything, to orient your life around his kingdom, to operate the New Testament way and be the church, and to keep praying no matter what. As we prepare to come to the communion table today, one of the great significant things this reminds us of, it's a continual reminder to remember what is important, and that is Jesus. That is Jesus. There's a little bit of vision I share with you about revival and the prodigals coming home and all of these things. There's a lot of ministry that God wants to do in our lives this year as a church. I didn't talk specifics about all of those today. My intention was to inspire you, to awaken you, to hopefully see a little passion grow in our hearts this year, and to help point you to Jesus. Because here's the thing, ministry that God has for us as a church will take place and flourish as long as we make and keep Jesus the center of our life. And that, my friends, I'd rather steer you into the direction of a person than a program today. I'd rather steer you towards the presence of God than anything else today. I'd rather hope to inspire you to pray more than gossip more and complain more and talk about people more. All our hands can be raised. I'd rather inspire us towards the thing that is most important, and that is Jesus. Because if we get Jesus, come on somebody, we get everything. Sell the field, get the treasure, own it all, possess it all. It's all to Jesus. Everything is him. Think about it. Your conflicts get solved when Jesus is in the center. Your wounds get healed when Jesus is in the center. Your struggles, your temptations get licked by the blood and the power of Jesus and his spirit and his word and the encouragement of his people when Jesus is the center. Is God talking to you today? Let me invite you to stand to your feet. prepare to come to the table today, if you don't know Jesus, if you have just been kind of playing games with Him, kind of toying with Him, kind of hokey-pokey with Him, one foot in and one foot out, you try to put it in and you can't keep it there. Today, the best thing you can do for your present, looking ahead to your future, is to not treat Jesus like a religious shrine and figurine, but treat Him and approach Him and love Him as the Savior of your soul. And you dedicate and give your whole life to Him. Will you bow your heads? Oh, Father, we come before You today thanking You for loving us, that You care enough about us, Your creation, to send Your Son, Your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross, to shed His blood for our forgiveness, to His body broken to make our lives whole. Oh, God, there's so much You want to do with us. You gotta have our hearts. You have our attention. Now, Lord, may we give You our hearts. Lord, if there's any one of us here today, as I pray, it's kind of, this applies, just agree with this before You and God. If anyone here today, Lord, who feels far from You, doesn't feel close to You, feels distant from You, Lord, right now, You're knocking on the door of their heart, waiting for them to open it up for You to come in. I pray, oh Lord, that they would do that. Open up our hearts. Jesus, come in. Forgive us, oh Lord. Lord, we repent of our sin. God, our stubbornness, our pride. Lord, we repent of from ourselves thinking we can do this and we don't know how. Come before You today and say, come into my life. Save me, forgive me, restore me, redeem me. Set my life on the path of righteousness to serve You. I give You my whole heart, my whole life, everything within me, God. Don't even know all of what that really means, but I want to just give it all to You, Jesus. And forgive us, Lord, anytime we have tried to give You things and taking it back. It's like we're playing a trade. Lord, we're tired of trading. Take it. We roll it all into Your care, all into Your hands at the cross. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit, God. Make our lives new. Take away the cloudiness of our vision and let us see with hope of what You want to do with our life this year. We give You our home and our hearts and our relationships and our marriages and our families and our dating and our singleness and our interpersonal relationships at work and all the things. We give You ourselves today, God. Come, take over, Lord. Turn my life around and orient it around Your kingdom. Make me excited again, Jesus, to love You with all that is within me and to serve You with great desire and faithfulness, steadfastness, God. Jesus is what's most important. Lord says to some of you today, you're seeking Him for answers. He says you'll get confirmation as you take steps of obedience to my word. I'll show you as you step out in faith and trust me according to my word in your life. Trust me. He says, trust me. Lord, we approach your table not haphazardly, not nonchalantly, not religiously. Oh, you call us to it today in relationship. So we're drawn to it today. Do something in us. Do something in us for your glory, your kingdom, in Jesus' name.